The church is still very good at religion. There are pure forms of religion. James talks about a pure form of religion, which is to care for the orphans and for the widows. But another kind of religion, which is destructive, is the kind of religion where we try and impose rules and regulations onto our lives to make us more good. But the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit means that we don't have to rely on external standards being imposed upon our lives, that He gives us a new heart. He makes us into brand new creations, and from the inside out, we begin to be transformed into the likeness of Jesus. It's His presence in us. So I'm going to just put a scripture up here on the board, and we're going to read that together, and then we're going to look at some very exciting aspects of who the Holy Spirit is, leading with an opportunity at the end to pray together. So this is from John's Gospel. This is Jesus' words, speaking of the Holy Spirit, who was yet to be poured out before Pentecost. So he said this: "But when He, the Spirit of truth, comes, He will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on His own. He will speak only what He hears. And He will tell you what is yet to come. He will glorify Me, because it is from Me that He will receive what He will make known to you." Going to look at some other scriptures as we go along, but just as we look at those scriptures this morning, I want to point out something very important. Let's go on to the next screen. He, the Holy Spirit, isn't an it. The Holy Spirit isn't an impersonal force like in Star Wars. I hear many people talking about the Holy Spirit using the pronoun it instead of He, but the Holy Spirit, as we're going to discover today, is a person who we can know, who we can fellowship with, who we can get to learn to be with and to be like. So Father, we pray that today, as we look at Your word, as we sit under Your word, as we learn about the magnificence of the Holy Spirit, about His presence, about His ways, today, Lord God, may our hearts be enraptured. Father, may we again discover the beauty, the wonder of a life filled with His presence, a life directed by Him, a life empowered by Him. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So, do you remember we did a series recently called Great Big God? Do you remember that? And for one of those sessions, I attempted to explain the Trinity. Now let me try and explain the Trinity to you again, but in less time. So the Father is God. Say, the Father is God. The Son is God. Say, the Son is God. The Holy Spirit is God. Say, the Holy Spirit is God. So the Father is God, the Son is God, the Holy Spirit is God. They are one God. But the Father is not the Son. The Son is not the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is not the Father. They are distinct persons. So although the Father is God, the Son is God, and the Spirit is God, they are one God, yet they are distinct persons within the Trinity. So the Holy Spirit is just as much God as Jesus the Son, as the Father in heaven. The Holy Spirit is God. So let's look at some things related to that. I won't read out all of these scriptures, but if you'd like to take notes, all of the references are up here, and there are more besides. So in Acts of the Apostles, the Holy Spirit is called God. How is it that you have lied to the Holy Spirit, and a few verses later, lied to God? The Holy Spirit is specifically called God. The Holy Spirit can be blasphemed. Only God can be blasphemed. The Holy Spirit saves. Only God can save. The Holy Spirit is eternal. Only God is eternal. The Holy Spirit is holy. He is omnipotent. He has all power. He is omnipresent. The devil isn't omnipresent. None of his fallen angels are omnipresent. Only God is omnipresent. The Holy Spirit is omnipresent. He is omniscient. He knows all things. The Holy Spirit is God. But apart from being, why is that important? Why is it important that the Holy Spirit is God? Now let's talk about this for a moment, because this is the exciting part. Do you remember when the Ark of the Covenant, which symbolized the very presence of God amongst his people here on earth, do you remember when the Ark of the Covenant had been stolen and then was due to come back into Jerusalem, but then there was an accident where somebody reached out their hands to stop it falling off a cart, which it should never be on, and the man who reached out his hand and touched the Ark of the Covenant died because the Ark of the Covenant was so holy. And so they decided, because of that, fear came upon the people of God, and the Ark of the Covenant didn't find its way back to Jerusalem. It ended up in the home of a man called Obed-Edom. Do you remember? Obed-Edom. And while the presence of God was in his house was blessed. The presence of God brought the blessing of God to that man's house. So here it is. We, as children of God, are the temple of the Holy Spirit. His presence lives in us. So it's more impressive than just an impersonal force being in our lives. We have the very presence of the God of the universe in the person of the Holy Spirit living within us. Our lives are a temple to the Holy Spirit. Now let me remind you what happened to Obed-Edom when he had the presence of God residing in his home. He was blessed. Blessing came because the presence came. And so as people of God, wherever we are, as carriers of the Holy Spirit, as the dwelling place of the Holy Spirit, we can bring blessing. Where our lives are, people will be blessed. Because you are blessed, people will be blessed. That means in your workplace can be blessed because you're there. That means that the sick that you pray for can be blessed because you are there. That means that your home can be blessed because you're there. Wherever he is, there is blessing. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit. Now, also, do you know that corporately the scriptures also tell us that we are the temple of the Holy Spirit? The church is the temple of the Holy Spirit. So his presence, when we gather corporately like this, and throughout the week when we're scattered, his presence is amongst his people. That means that we are uniquely in this world people of blessing, because we have his presence both in us and amongst us. Isn't that wonderful? Can someone say hallelujah? So he is God, his presence in us. What makes us different to any kind of religious organization or social club isn't that, you know, we have great signs on the building, if only we had a building to put signs on, please God. Or the website, or the materials that we produce, or any of the meetings that we put in the diary. The thing that uniquely sets us apart as people in this earth is that we carry the presence of the Holy Spirit in the person of the Holy Spirit. The presence of God in the person of the Holy Spirit. He fills our lives and he brings blessing through our lives to others. He is God. His presence is in us. So let's look at that scripture again that we looked at the beginning. When he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. He will glorify me, because it is from me that he will receive what he has made known to you. Now look at that scripture. He will glorify me. When the Spirit of God is in our lives, his purpose is to bring glory to Jesus. So if we claim to be Spirit-filled Christians, which I hope we are, his presence in our lives will mean that our lives bring glory to Jesus. His presence in the church will mean that the church brings glory to Jesus, because the role of the Holy Spirit is to bring glory to Jesus. He loves to shine the spotlight on Jesus. Jesus is glorified when the Holy Spirit is present. So he is God, but he is also a person. The Holy Spirit is a person. He's not an it. He's not an impersonal force. He's a person. And so the scriptures, Romans 8:27, says he has a mind. We can know the mind of the Spirit. He thinks. Only a person thinks. He speaks. Only a person can speak. He decides. He leads. He can be grieved. He can be resisted. He can be lied to. The Holy Spirit is a person. He is God. He is a personality. Now, why is that important? Because if the Holy Spirit is a person, that means that we can know him. We don't just ask the Lord to send his power. His power is a person. We don't say, Lord, fill me with some impersonal kind of force. We're saying, fill me with a person. He will fill our lives. He will empower us. He will guide us into all truth. He will glorify Jesus in our lives. We can know him. Now, you know the blessing that many churches say when they gather together like this. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. And we love that, don't we? Because all of us, I guess most of us in the room today, if we call ourselves a Christian, we've experienced the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. That means that we haven't earned our way into heaven. We haven't earned our way into a relationship with God. It's not because we are amazingly good people that God has accepted us. It's because Jesus, who was uniquely perfect, who is the only person who has ever been perfect, died on the cross in our place, bore our sin, so that we didn't have to be punished for the things we deserve to be punished for. He took our sin and became sin for us so that we could become the righteousness of God. It's a free gift received by faith. The grace of God, we've all, if we're a Christian today, experienced the grace of God, the unmerited favor of God that comes in our direction. We've all hopefully experienced the love of God. All of us have experienced the love of God to some degree or another, some more than others, and some of us would love to experience more of the love of God and be set free in our hearts from chains that have bound us because of a lack of love or abuse that has come our way in the past, and the love of God brings healing to all of those areas of our lives. We experience the grace. We experience the love of God. But can we all say with the same certainty that we have experienced the fellowship of the Holy Spirit? What does that look like? The fellowship of the Holy Spirit. When I was younger, I was probably about 12 or 13, there's a guy across the road, and his name was Craig Harris. And we'd known each other for a while. We used to play football in the street and different things. But when we were about 12 or 13, we began to hang out a little bit more, and we actually we were trying to think, we need more pocket money. How can we make a bit of money? So we decided to produce this magazine at school called Now. I think there's a magazine called Now, but we were there first. And in this magazine, we kind of did profiles of teachers, and we did a graffiti wall so people could write messages to one another. And we told stories about the football matches that were being played that week. And we got a friend's dad to photocopy it, and then we sold it for 10 pence around the school. And we made quite a bit of money doing that. And so me and Craig, because of this, we spent a lot of time together. We actually went up into the attic of my mum and dad's house, and we had a table with a typewriter. We were a proper outfit. We were doing this professionally. And that's where, you know, I developed some graphic design skills because of that and different things. That was when I was about 12 or 13. Anyway, what I discovered was that when I spent so much time with Craig, we'd be walking down the road and I would say something and he would finish my sentence. Do you ever find that? It might be that you're married today or you've got a really good friend and that happens. You're so in tune with each other's thinking that one person can speak and the other person can finish their sentence. And that's what it's like with the Holy Spirit. That's what it should be like as children of God, that we become so attuned to him because we're in fellowship with him, that when he speaks, we recognize his voice and we know his mind and we recognize when he's nudging us in one direction or convicting us in this area, and we are led by him. There's a beautiful scripture in Galatians 5, also up here on the screen. It says, since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. And so I used to imagine that what this looked like was like a military march, you know, and he was marching and we were marching by him. I thought that's what it looked like. And then a few years ago, David Smith started praying for me. And every time he saw me, he'd say, "Damien, my prayer for you is that you will learn to dance with the Spirit. Dance with the Spirit." And I think by that, he didn't mean that I would be leading and the Spirit would be following, the other way around. So that the person who was leading was the Holy Spirit, and I would become so tuned into him that where he moved, I would move. And as he led, I would just follow him, and it would look beautiful and it would be exquisite. Now, we have some dancers in the congregation, and I would like to invite Carol and Alan, who are going to do some dancing for us today. Now, Alan's going to lead, and Carol's going to follow. Give them some encouragement. I think we've got a bit of music as well for you. You'll remember that, won't you? You'll remember that. That's a 10. 10 for me. Thank you so much. That's so beautiful. You're so talented. Carol and Alan have agreed to teach me and Maggie to dance. And Sheldon and Andrea. And Faye and Andy. Anyone else? Yeah. Adam and Ruth. Yeah, of course. Adam and Ruth. Yeah. Yeah. So since, church, we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. When he leads, we follow. When the Bible talks about fellowship with the Holy Spirit, how do you fellowship with somebody? How do you fellowship with somebody? Now, some people, when they talk about fellowship, they mean a cup of tea and just spending time together. But I think fellowship is a lot deeper than that. It's a lot more meaningful than that. It's where hearts connect. It's where lives connect. And as a church, as we fellowship together, we connect hearts around the person of Jesus, don't we? And so when it talks about fellowship with the Holy Spirit, it's about spending time with him. It's about acknowledging his presence. Often as Christians, we just go from thing to thing, and we go from meeting to meeting or moment to moment, and we don't acknowledge his presence in our lives. And so we don't often recognize his voice when he speaks to us, because there's so much noise in the world, and there's so much noise around us that we have to pause and we have to spend time in his presence with him to recognize his voice. So that when he speaks, we can almost finish his sentences. We learn his ways. And when he wants to pause and to twizzle us around, that's the technical term for what Alan and Carol did, then we know the move because we've rehearsed the move. We've been practicing by being with him in his presence. A church of people who are in step with the Holy Spirit, what would that look like? When we gather together on a Sunday It would mean that all of us were tuned in to the Holy Spirit. That means that when he wanted to bless somebody else, we would maybe just look across the room and God would put somebody on our heart. It happens all the time, by the way, in Hope Church. It might be that somebody over this side of the room spots somebody over the other side of the room, and God doesn't usually, but this week he seems to have put a little burden on your heart for that person. So you make your way across the room and say, can I pray for you? Or, you know, what's going on in your life at the moment? And you're able to speak a word of wisdom or bring a word of knowledge into their situation. It happens a lot, but a church that's filled with the Holy Spirit, in step with the Holy Spirit, what would that look like? It would mean that we would have confidence in his ability to transform a human life. Sometimes we haven't got confidence to pray for the sick or to minister to one another because we feel like we haven't got the goods. We haven't, but he has. And so when we're in step with the Holy Spirit, when it's him who's leading, when it's him who's guiding, when we recognize his ways, we become supremely confident to minister to other people because we realize that it's his power at work through us. When we learn to recognize his voice, we become confident to speak what we believe he's saying into another person's life and know that his words will bring change to the human heart, transformation, renewal of the mind, change of the heart. What does it look like to be in step with the Spirit? We need to learn to know him and to fellowship with him, to be with him, to become like him, so that we can finish his sentences when he speaks, so that we can know his ways. Again, that scripture in John 3, verse 8, the wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it's going. So it is with everyone born of the Holy Spirit. Who here loves to be in a box? Who here loves to be caged in by religion? Who here would love every Sunday for us just to come and sit in rows of chairs and sing songs? Or who here would like a life of adventure, like the wind that blows here, there, and everywhere and can't be contained and can't be boxed in? So are those who are children of God because the Holy Spirit is in us. Who would like a life like that? Who would like a church like that? Lord, you can see what's in people's hearts right now. We want to be a church where people aren't boxed in. The religion doesn't confine us into small places, but where the Holy Spirit takes us into the wide open spaces. A life of freedom. A life of liberty. A life of impact. A life that changes the world. People don't want your religion. They want your God. People don't like Christians very much, but they love Jesus. They need what you have, but it's not the structures, it's not the programs, it's not the meetings. It's Christ in you, the hope of glory, the presence of the Holy Spirit bringing glory and honor to the Lord Jesus Christ. So I haven't got a lot else to say, but I'm going to invite people, if they would like to this morning, just to receive the Holy Spirit, his presence, his power, his beauty, his goodness. Do you know what? The presence of the Holy Spirit is evidenced by love and joy and peace and patience. Who here is thinking this morning, well, forget that. I've got enough love in my life. Don't give me any more peace. I can't contain any more peace. I am so peaceful. Joy? You can't, I'm on the roof with joy. I'm so joyful. Don't give me any more joy. I can't handle any more joy. Is anyone else feeling like that in the room this morning? So listen, we need the Holy Spirit. We need him. His presence. And here's the thing. You want him. You want his presence. You want his power, you want his love, you want his joy, you want that peace, you want it. But he wants you to have those things more than you want to have them. He wants you to have him in your life more than you want to have him in your life. He is more willing to bless than you are to be blessed. Do you know that? So you don't have to beg him this morning. There's no begging, there's no striving. If you want more of his presence in your life, it will probably mean that you have to yield to him. You have to give way to him. You have to acknowledge that he is Lord, that he is God, that he is Lord, and to make him Lord of our lives. He's the Holy Spirit. If you're inviting him to fill your life, what you're inviting him to do is to purify your heart, to make you more like Jesus. That might mean that he asks to come into your room and to redecorate. He might not like your wallpaper very much. He might have his own wallpaper that he wants to put up. If you ask the Holy Spirit to come into your life in a greater measure, he is holy. He is holy. He is pure and pure goodness. That's what he's like. Come and fill me, Lord, doesn't mean I want an experience. Doesn't mean I want to feel tingly. It means that I want to make the Holy Spirit Lord. Just as I claim to make Jesus Lord and acknowledge the Father as Lord. A life filled with the Holy Spirit is a life yielded to him. A life surrendered to him. Lord, have your way. I'm just looking around now. I feel, if I could use the phrase, I feel in love with you, I would, but that sounds wrong. But I feel like I'm feeling a little bit of his love for you right now, how much he loves you. And he's inviting you into a place of intimacy with him. And again, that's not just kind of loose words. It's not just, yeah, come and I'll give you a big hug. It might be that, but so much more than that. He knows you, and he's inviting you to know him in a greater measure. Intimacy, in step, loving him, being loved by him. So this morning, this is what we're going to do. I'm not going to invite you to come to the front, but I'm going to invite you, if you want to acknowledge the Holy Spirit's presence and ask him to fill your life afresh today, why don't you stand to your feet? Jesus said, you fathers, even though you're evil, you know how to give good gifts to your children. How much more will the Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? This morning, I'm going to pray for you in a moment, but I want you to do something very simple. I want you just to ask. Just to ask. Fill me with the Holy Spirit. Fill me with his presence. Fill me with his life. Fill me with his love. Fill me with his joy. Fill me with his peace. Just ask, church. He's more willing to give than you are to receive. But I sense a hunger in the room today. Just ask him. with every good gift. What you do is you receive it. And so receive him. Receive everything good that he wants to pour into your life. To say, yes, Lord. Come, Holy Spirit, now. Right across this place. Come in power. May your presence feel like a weightiness in this room. Come and fill your children. As you brood across this gathering right now, Holy Spirit, would you respond to the hunger in the hearts of your children and saturate their lives with your presence? Fill the temple with your glory. Ask you for something good, you won't give us something bad. We ask you for something good, very, very, very good. The Holy Spirit, who is God, a person, one closer to us than a brother, the one who can fellowship with us. We ask him to come into our lives. We ask for good things. Lord, we're not afraid. There's no fear in our lives. We don't have to fear that something counterfeit or something negative will come in, because we're asking you for something good. So come and fill our lives with you now. Fill our lives with you now. More of you, Lord God. More and more and more and more and more.